I had a very groundbreaking experience earlier this week that was really very unexpected. When I speak about this experience, I am very quick to say that it's not the first time this has happened to me. But what is very different for me and very unique about this experience is that it was the first time, you know, during 30 years of mindfulness practice that I really began to realize how powerful this practice is. And when I say this practice, what I'm really speaking of in particular is exactly how powerful it is to be able to pay attention and be aware of our thoughts and not analyzing them, not trying to understand them, not trying to figure out why they're happening, but just literally paying attention to them, being with whatever those thoughts are, and not trying to figure out what they mean. And what happened was earlier this week that I had, and this was in a business related or an organizational related meeting, I found myself in a place, and this is not the first time this has happened because I'm human, that there were things that were shared. In this case, not, you know, the details themselves don't really matter, because that's really just the story about what happened. What really was, what the core of the experience was, that there were some expectations on the part of a client that I have worked with for a long period of time. And there's some assumptions that were made on their part about certain problems that they expected me to solve that I had never told them that I could solve. I had never committed to solving them, had made no assurances about that, but yet they continued to have the expectations that they had and still have. And unfortunately, the way this was expressed to me, and there again, I'm not blaming the person who expressed them in this group of people, but ultimately what came through was something that I processed, and I take responsibility for this. I take responsibility for the fact that the way that they spoke about how I was not able to solve these problems that I had not agreed to solve, nor had I ever told them that I would, there was something about their tone and the energy around the way that they communicated this that I guess the best word I can use for this is, and I would say that it felt, but really it wasn't feeling that. I was just feeling whatever emotions I was feeling, and somehow that resulted in me thinking thoughts about being emotionally deflated. I guess that would be about the best word I could use. I could go as far to say that I felt demoralized, that I felt in more of the vernacular, I could say that I was really bummed out. You know, I was just, it really, really did just bring me down. And I knew that there's a part of me that always has struggled some with people pleasing and wanting, and I know that's not unique. I know I'm not the only one. And I know I ultimately am not the only one who wants people to be happy, who wants people to get what it is that they want. But unfortunately, I'm a limited human being, and I really can't necessarily always do that. And for some reason, I was thinking a lot of thoughts about being bummed out, being deflated, being demoralized in some way. And it was just this cascade of thoughts. And as this meeting continued, I felt this building and building within me. And I became aware really quickly, which I'm very thankful for. This isn't anything amazing or special or unique about me. This is available to any of us, as I always like to say to people and encourage people that this is not something that's rare, so to speak. It is, you know, if we practice being aware of these thoughts and being aware of how we're reacting to a situation that's happening right before us, it is much easier to have some headspace and some perspective around what it is that our minds are doing in response to something that in this case is causing some unpleasant emotions. And the energy in my body, you know, definitely feeling there was an unpleasantness to it. And I don't even want to try to search for the words for it, because I realize ultimately I could spend a lot of time doing that, and it really wouldn't be the best use of this time, this limited time that I want to share about this. But really, that is what it boiled down to, is that I finished up this meeting. The way that this person basically closed out the meeting really left me in a place where I just, it's like after it was over with, I just essentially sat with what it was that I was feeling. And there were a lot of thoughts around this. There was a lot of reactivity. I felt myself, you know, in addition to feeling, you know, deflated, demoralized, and bummed out, so to speak, which would be my top three words for this at this point anyway, or in this case, you know, phrases. Really where I found myself was that it just, it's almost as if I just, I really did not, I no longer wanted to, and there again, these were thoughts that I was having. I no longer wanted to work with these people or for these people because I, for whatever reason, I was having thoughts that I don't like doing work for or with anyone or any organizations that continue to have expectations around me solving problems that I clearly can't solve. And not it not even being my fault, but I realize that it's sometimes normal in the business world for there to be expectations, you know, that are greater than what someone can actually provide or do. And I know that setting expectations is something that I've always tried to be very open and honest and diligent about, but I am human. And so from time to time, I am going to find myself in a place where if I'm not careful, I will basically want to tell someone what they want to hear. And in this case, thankfully, I did not do that. But I know that's always a temptation. So one thing I know for sure is that this clearly is a trigger for me, that this is something that the people-pleasing behaviors, and I don't want to get too analytical about this or too analytic about this at this point. But what I want to say is that for the focus of this, that it really was about the thoughts that I was having and what I was doing to myself. And as essentially what I was doing to myself was that I was emotionally collapsing in on myself. I was finding myself thinking thoughts about not wanting to do this anymore, wanting to give up, and just really feeling like there was no point to me doing this anymore. And the cool part about this is that I can now look back and realize that none of those things were the truth. That really wasn't the way that I was feeling. It was just the way that I was thinking. That wasn't my reality. It did not mean that the walls really were closing in on me. It really did mean that my days were numbered doing the work that I do, or that my best days were behind me. It just was that this is what happened. And that's what I love about mindfulness practice, is that it really has allowed me, and so many people that I have spoken with and shared this with over the years, has allowed people, myself included, to be able to cope more effectively when things happen that we really cannot control at all. And the beautiful part is that I realize now that I can begin to really identify with my thoughts. I can really identify with my own emotional and internal reactivity and believe that that's my reality if I choose to. It's a very relative reality. It certainly is not absolute reality. And it's basically some other person's take on where they find themselves in relation to me. But I know that it ultimately doesn't mean that because I can't necessarily fulfill everyone's expectations, it does not mean that I'm a failure. It does not mean that I should give up. And it doesn't mean that I have, you know, any blame in this, so to speak. Clearly, if I've made assurances or promises or commitments to be able to solve certain problems, I definitely better be able to solve them if I can make those promises and keep them. But in this case, that wasn't the case. And I think that is why, and I say think, I think that is ultimately why I reacted the way that I did, because there was this sense of what was referred to as righteous indignation. How dare somebody do this to me? How dare someone hold me accountable for something that I never promised that I could do? And I also realized too that it's really not it's not the end of the world if someone makes assumptions about what I can do, even if I've not said that I can do it. I don't have to react to that. I can simply realize that this is just something that someone has made an assumption about. And it doesn't mean that, you know, if they truly are, and this person was very vocal about how disappointed that they were, that I don't have to take that on. I don't have to turn that in on myself. And what I found is that, you know, thankfully I did not do that, but I guess in a way, on the other hand, I sort of did, because of the fact that I really began to think a lot of thoughts about how this was making me, quote unquote, feel. And what it was doing was, is that, you know, I felt whatever energy I felt in my body. I still don't really know exactly what the feelings or the emotion was. I just know that they were unpleasant. And that's all I really have to know. And then I could look to what I was thinking. The thoughts themselves were really revealing to me what exactly was going on underneath the surface. It was all of the thought. And that's something I wasn't even planning on saying at this moment or during these moments, is that if I look to the thoughts themselves, that they ultimately reveal a lot about what it is that I'm experiencing emotionally. And I'm reacting in certain ways, there's a lot of resistance to feeling whatever emotions I'm feeling. And so my mind is compensating for that by thinking a lot of thoughts. And then I begin to, if I follow those thoughts and believe that that's where reality is, then I find myself in a place where I really am that guy that's bummed out and ready to give up and feeling demoralized and not wanting to go on. That it's because of I'm thinking myself into that. And it took me a day or so to, and I will say that I was aware of this. I was very well aware of the fact that I was having these thoughts and that it did not feel good. I also knew that the thoughts themselves and believing these thoughts and identifying as the person who was deflated or bummed out, so to speak, that it wasn't doing me any good either. But I tried to stop it, and I thought if I could stop this and put a stop to it, then maybe I could finally let this go. Neither one of those things are usually possible. I find that, you know, it sounds great in theory to let something go. I don't know that I've ever been able to be successful. I can't say that it can't be done and that other people can't do it. I just know for me in my own unique experience that it is usually something that is very difficult to do. It sounds great. I'm open to it, but it has never worked in practice for me. In theory, it sounds amazing. So what I've also found is that I also can't stop these thoughts. And while I was aware of the fact that the thinking was not helping anything at all and was just making me feel worse, I also knew that I just had to be open to sitting with this, letting these thoughts run off and do what it is they were going to do. And as long as I had that perspective, as long as I could separate myself just a little bit from the situation, thankfully, the good news is that I didn't suffer nearly as much as I would have had I really been identifying with and really believing that I was the guy that was deflated, demoralized, and bummed out, so to speak. And I just basically gave it some space and I gave it some room. And I knew that I was not going to make any decisions about what I was going to do or not do any further based on this thinking that I was having. And I will say that this is one of those opportunities that I had. It's been a long time since I have had, it's taken this long for me to, for those thoughts to just simply dissipate and go away. And it was very tempting for me to, I kept feeling this urge to make decisions. And there was this injured innocence, and I know Buddhists speak a lot of that, this sense of injured innocence. How dare this person do this to me? What did I do wrong? Why are they doing this to me? Why did she speak to me this way? Why did she say this? To begin to start identifying as the victim and to be very reactionary. You know what? I'm going to show them I'm just not going to do this anymore. And I freely admit that as an adult, and as someone who has walked this earth for several, quite a few decades, that I'm not above and beyond having those sort of reactions and inclinations. And I sat with those thoughts as well, too. The, you know what, I'm going to show them. And it's very healing for me to share this because I'm not above this. I have not transcended this. After walking the quote-unquote spiritual path for decades, I can truly say that I haven't transcended any of this humanness whatsoever. I'm just as human as the next person. And it's very freeing and it's very liberating to speak about this, because ultimately, if I have an issue or a difficulty being completely transparent about this, then I certainly do want to be looking at that as well. And so I have just allowed myself to quote unquote swim in it for a while. And it was definitely a pretty good while. But at the same time, though, I was aware of what was going on. I knew what I was doing to myself. I knew that these thoughts, you know, that I was continuing to engage with them, that I was at certain points, you know, during the probably 48 hours after this happened, that I was giving these thoughts time and energy, that I was still somehow having these strategic thoughts about what I was going to do to see that this never happened again. And the beautiful part about it is that I have complete compassion for myself or anyone who finds themselves in a position where this is how they're thinking. And if they are really wrapped up in believing what they're thinking about what they're feeling, and they are really wrapped up in the reactivity, because I really have sensed over the years that this is what it is like to be human, that this is really what it's all about. And that just because I was thinking thoughts about, you know, removing myself from any vulnerability in the future to experience this again or to be treated this way again, that if I did that, I realized I could do it. I could clearly decide, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. But then what happens the next time? And I have a very dear friend of mine that has said this to me. He said this to me many times. Okay, this is how you're going to react to this. Well, what are you going to do the next time that it happens? And then the next time, and then the next time. And I haven't thought about this in years, but it really is something that speaks to me in this moment, because I realize, how can I really protect myself? How can I, and one of the ways in which I have tried to protect myself is that I have tried to think my way out of things, so to speak. It never has worked for me. Maybe it works for others, and I think that's wonderful if it does, but I know I'm not capable of doing it. And at some point, I just wore myself out with trying to think myself out of situations. And all the strategic thinking and all of the planning so that I could try to orchestrate an outcome that really, frankly, I could never really control anyway. And so for a couple of days, I was the demoralized, deflated, bummed out guy, I guess is what I would say here. I identified as that person. I walked around and I carried that with me. And it was like this really heavy baggage, and really what it felt like, if someone asked me, what did it feel like to be that guy? To be that guy was just really being wrapped up in all the thoughts about it. And the thoughts were happening whether I bought into them or not. The inclinations and the, you know, the perspective that I had and the identity that I was taking on really were just the result of me giving time and energy to these thoughts. And once I decided that I had done it enough and that there wasn't going to be anything good come from it, and really there wasn't going to be anything coming from it, at some point I began to sit in that emptiness, in that place where I realized this is not really going to change anything. This is all really just me doing this to myself again. And at some point, I really began, I think at first there is sometimes this tendency, and I've had this happen many times, to think, and there again I'm using the operative word to think, that I'm going to get something out of this. Somehow there's going to be a sense of satisfaction carrying around this grudge and this anger and this resentment towards other people for treating me a certain way. And at some point, there just is no payoff. Any payoff that I thought that I saw or was invested in, and making efforts to continue to have it pay off for me, just really began to come up empty. And at some point, I could just see that all of this really is just actively engaging in these thoughts. And what I find is, and this is something that has happened over and thousands, 10,000s of times, is that if I just choose not to invest any more time and energy in these thoughts and not to identify as the product of these thoughts, that somehow it's almost like I would say magically, but that might not be a suitable word for this. It just is the natural flow of events, the natural sequence of events. At some point, this begins to, the thoughts themselves begin to dissipate because there is no one thinking them. And that is really it. And as strange as that may sound, that is really what I find is that, the me that I think that I am, and you'll notice there again, I use the word think again, the me that I think I am is just this character that I've created that is thinking these thoughts and continuing to nurture them and giving them energy and spending time with them and continuing to feed them over and over again. At some point, if that person that I think that I am, quote unquote, leaves the room or decides to no longer engage in this, then the thoughts themselves are really just happening. There is no person behind them. And I want to be clear that I'm not deluding myself or dissociating. I realize that I am a human being that has a brain, that has a body and a mind, and these thoughts are happening within this brain, within this body that I'm inhabiting currently. And without getting too deeply metaphysical, there is this aspect of sort of no one minding the store, no one being home. And when I say that, what I'm really speaking of here is that if I don't really get myself wrapped up in believing these thoughts and believing that I'm the one having these thoughts and I'm the one that's owning these thoughts, at some point there is a loosening and I begin to see that these thoughts are really just phenomena that are unfolding. And I'm not so wrapped up in the person that's thinking them. And at that point, where I really find myself is that I can begin to disengage. And it's not trying to disengage. It's not trying not to buy into them. It's just that if I'm relaxed and I allow myself to utilize various meditative techniques to relax, then I can find that I can really disengage myself, kind of disentangle myself from being so wrapped up in all of these thoughts just because I happen to be the person thinking them. There really is a different way. It really can be easier than this. But I know that in the midst of, and I freely admit, feeling deflated and feeling, demoralized about a situation, sometimes there isn't enough energy to actually no longer invest in these things. It's almost like it's just a movie. It's a looping video or a looping audio that just keeps happening. These memories just keep coming through over and over and over again. Until I finally realize, oh, okay, I don't have to necessarily keep this going. And the only way that I keep it going is by continuing to really buy into it. And at some point, it just becomes something that's happening that I don't really even have to identify with. And at some point, it just really doesn't happen. And it really is. I find that it's amazingly simple, but very, very difficult to allow myself to be in the position of the observer and not so much being the person believing all these thoughts because I happen to be the one, because they happen to be occurring in my head, that I can actually observe them. And it really does change things from a neurological standpoint. And without getting into all the science of that, I find that I don't even understand it all, and I don't need to understand it all. The only thing that I really want to do ultimately is to continue to practice this ancient technique of mindfulness and the meditative aspect of it, continuing to just pay attention to these thoughts, to continue to be aware of them. And at some point, I found myself waking up. And when I say waking up, I'm speaking metaphorically, that ultimately I woke up and realized, okay, the situation may not change. This person's perspective may not change, but it doesn't mean I have to give up. It doesn't mean I have to run away. And it doesn't mean I have to turn this in on myself. What it really means is that I can embrace, it doesn't mean I have to like it or love it or like this person, but what I do find is that ultimately I do want to extend unconditional love and to realize that there may be a reason that this person related to me this way for reasons I have no idea why. And there may be experiences that they have had and that's why this is the way that they see the world. And I can't really understand it or analyze it or try to figure it out. And all I can really do, ultimately, is just continue to come back to this place, to come back to my own center, so to speak, and just simply watch and pay attention to these thoughts and realize that they're happening. And when I do that, I'm able to not get so wrapped up in chasing them somewhere else and getting caught somewhere else in my head and not being present and not being here where, in fact, everything is actually not as bad as I have talked myself into it being so many, many times. And this is another classic example of that. And what I found this week is since that I reached an equilibrium through utilizing this practice that, you know, the grass looks a little bit greener, so to speak. Things are a little sunnier, you know, out there and in here even. And that's the most important part is, you know, what is the weather like in here? And when I say in here, I'm talking about in my own heart and in my own being. And what really allows that to happen after many, many years and decades of the weather being really stormy and really cloudy and really ominous much of the time and very unstable much of the time. And really there was a great difficulty in coping with things that I could not control, that I find that there is more peace because, I really find that the peace comes from the perspective, and the perspective ultimately is a product of this practice.